I think I see everybody that needs to be here. We'll just give it another minute before we get started.
Hey, Chair, since today's meeting is a marathon, I was thinking maybe I needed to do this to be ready for it. What do you think?
Right? It'd be a long one. I dig the headband.
I used to wear Wilson headbands, but I'd wear them upside down, so it had an M on it for Mitchell instead of a W.
Got to bring that back.
Maybe I will. No short shorts for me, though. Sorry.
Good thing we're on Zoom.
Yeah, or else you'd see I'm wearing my nicest bedroom slippers for today's meeting.
There you go. All right. It is 10 o'clock. Everybody is here, so we will get today's meeting started. Good morning, everyone. It is 10 o'clock on April 6th, 2021. And we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you for that. That brings us to item number 3 on today's agenda. This is for discussion and possible action, review, and possible approval of the agenda for April 6th, 2021. Let me note that Commissioner Gilman is not with us. He'll be here a little bit later, but we do have a quorum present. So with that said, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda?
Chairman, there's a staff comment.
Yes, County Manager, go for it.
Thank you. We're asking to continue two items. It is number 15. It is the Tesla Government Services Agreement, and also number 20. And number 20 is on the fire district item. It is the same thing, the Tesla Government Services Agreement. We would like to continue this to the April 20, 2021 County Commission meeting. We're still working out details.
Noted. Thank you. Again, I'm going to give a public comment just a second here. I would have to ask Clerk Stevens to notify us if there's any chat or hands raised, as I'm not able to see all of those. So again, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chair Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the agenda for the April 6th, 2021 meeting as presented with the two items, number 15 and 20, to be continued as recommended by staff.
All right. I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that. Bringing us to item number 4. This is for discussion and possible action. Review and possible approval of the minutes for the February 16th, 2021 meeting. Is there any public comment regarding this agenda item? And again, just give it a moment here. If anybody has any questions, they can *6 to raise their hand or unmute themselves if they're calling in. You can also use the raise your hand feature if you're joining us on Zoom today. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the minutes for the February 16th, 2021 meeting.
All right. And I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that. Next item is for discussion and possible action. This is the review and possible approval of the minutes for the February 19th, 2021 meeting. Is there any public comment regarding item number 5? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, to entertain a motion.
Be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the minutes for the February 19th, 2021 meeting.
All right, I'll second that. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Bringing us to item number six, this is for discussion and possible action. Review and possible approval of the minutes for the March 2, 2021 meeting. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Yeah, and my only comment on all of these is I noticed that in the minutes, a lot of times my comments will go and that goes to inaudible. That's why I'm wearing the better headset. But number two, it's probably a reminder for me that I'm saying too much. So with that in mind, I will move to approve the minutes for the March 2nd, 2021 meeting.
All right, I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Bringing us on to item number seven, today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
I'd be happy to. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve today's consent agenda as listed.
All right, I will second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Bringing us to item number eight. This is also for discussion and possible action. Update discussion and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to SB 98, proposing Story County's membership into the Carson Water Subconservancy District, and BDR 1109, Innovation Zone Draft Legislation, and other properly related matters. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Commissioners and Chairman Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. I was going to give you an update of AB 90, the Innovation Zone Bill, and about six or seven other bills in short with that, and then request some direction on where you would like to go. So AB 90, you remember when that came in initially, that was from a majority leader, Teresa Benitez Thompson, and that was from Washoe County to review all applications dealing with development that would have like a fiscal review for not only fiscal, but impacts such as housing, transportation, and the sorts. We were against the bill at the time, and the bill was going to die. At this point, the bill is back, but as amended. The bill is in its original form was not going anywhere. We expected it to go away. And at this point, it is back as an interim study bill. What that would mean is between this legislative session and the next legislative session, there would be a study of the potential impacts being caused in the region by growth occurring in not just Story County, but potentially other places. But the main target is us with the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center growth and the alleged impacts, all negative, of course, that are going on in the region. We argue that there's positive impacts going on in the region that can be measured. And so at this point, the legislature, we do believe, is going to go forth with or without us on an interim study, an amended AB 90 bill as such. And that study will go on between 2021 and 2023, and it'll look at housing, tax revenues, transportation costs, other impacts, and also has mention of abatements and the sort that, you know, would also be looked at. So at this point, Mr. Chairman, I got the amended bill from our lobbyist, Mary Walker. I have not been able to provide it to the board at the same time as the public, so I've held it to myself. If you would like, I could read the amended language into the record so the public gets it at the same time, and then ask you a few questions, or you can ask me a few questions.
Please do, County Manager.
All right, it's not very lengthy of an amendment. If you can give me a moment here, I gotta find it. Okay. Give me another moment here.
No problem.
Appreciate your patience. Thought I had a paper copy in here, but I got one right up here. It'll take a second. Okay, here's what the amendment looks like so far. This is presented by Majority Leader Benitez Thompson. It says third paragraph to read as follows, meaning that other bill that was out there, new language, or it says effective local government, which means a county that is adjacent to a county where a project of inter-county significance is located, or a city located in a county that is adjacent to the county where a project of inter-county significance spurred by state-approved economic development is located. Change the fourth or the next one, hold on. The committee, meaning the legislative committee, shall also consider certain revenues considering impacts to contiguous counties and statewide needs. The committee may use all the data it deems to be relevant, including five things: state and local tax reports and assessments, demographics and projected population growth, housing trends, and to meet the projected population growth, master plans, state Medicaid costs for employees and dependents whose employers receive tax abatements. So that is essentially the core of the bill that would move forward as amended. And then the old bill saying that effective immediately there would be studies of companies coming in before the companies could come in would no longer apply. This would just be to look at the overall situation, the environment, and to, to assess those items.
Thank you for that, Austin. Do you think this study is going to cover impacts in both directions?
Mary Walker, our lobbyist, and I, we have spoke about that, and she has a couple added sentences that she's going to present to the majority leader. It's up to the majority leader whether she will accept them. And what this would now say is, basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but I'll read additional underlined additions.
Okay.
So effective local government, which means currently it says a county that is adjacent to a county. We would also like to add a county in which the project of inter-county significance exists. And then on the fourth paragraph, we would like to add where it says the committee shall also consider certain revenues considering impacts to a contiguous county. We would also like to add to a county in which the project of inter-county significance exists. What that means is we're not just going to study Washoe, we're also going to study Story. It's kind of forgotten in the bill, perhaps, that we also have impacts. You know, we have to respond to these companies as well with police, fire, and other services.
Okay. Thank you for that. That brings up one other question I do have. I noticed that we have set aside funds for an impact study. Do you want to explain that while we're talking about this?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, and it's in the tentative budget, so I won't go too deep into that yet, but when we get into the tentative budget, I'd be happy to explain much further.
Okay.
But I'm going to propose to the board that we set aside a significant amount of money for Story County also to do a full third-party impartial financial study of all of the tax impacts that our county is causing to the region, positively or otherwise. And an example of this is we would like to see an abated tax dollar of sales tax in Story County that ends up in the pocket of a worker that goes to Washoe County and buys a car, washing machine, goes to the movies or whatever, and then becomes an unabated sales tax dollar to the region. We would like to be able to follow that dollar all the way to that level and then be able to present to the legislature if this bill were to get approved. Our side to show kind of where all that money is coming and going. And that would be done again through a third party independent contract.
Okay. Sounds great. Before I take public comment, I do want to note that Commissioner Gilman has joined us. We have all three commissioners here with us today.
Mr. Commissioner Carmona, as we're starting this item number eight, and prior to getting into all of the issues, I'd like to read a disclosure, if I may, into the record.
Please do, Commissioner Gilman.
So it's a bit lengthy, but I think important. I request that we separate the discussion on this item into two parts, separating the discussion on the Innovation Zone bill from the other bills we'll discuss. And as to the innovation zone discussion, I'd like to disclose that my real estate brokerage company has a significant business relationship with a company which is loosely affiliated with the primary proponent of the innovation bill, blockchains. While this may not fall within the strict ethical rules requiring an abstention, nonetheless, I feel in this instance, an excess of caution is warranted given the stakes. So therefore, I abstain from the topic, discussion or voting on the IZ bill. I also would like to disclose this morning that there was a story this morning in the Reno Gazette Journal indicating that I am against the innovation zone concept and or Mr. Jeff Burns. I seem to be clickbait at times for the media, and this was truly fake news. Even there was no story. I have taken no such position. I have been careful to abstain on all discussions on this bill previously in all of our past meetings. Having said that, I do want to encourage again both sides to continue to engage to work out a win-win situation. Continue to talk with each other, and there's still time for discussion and agreement. If there is a way for both sides to figure out a path forward together, that might be very great. And I appreciate the focus and diligence and the time and effort our county manager and my fellow commissioners are putting in the issue. I also appreciate that the proponent of the IZ bill is continuing to engage with the county and looking for solutions as well. I have put my financial life and my family's future on the line several times in our last 20 years to make our county, our home, successful. I have a major stake in Story County's future. I also believe that the blockchain technology could be a game changer in the tech world. I have to think with all of the brilliant people on both sides of the negotiation, something innovative, something remarkable, something transformative can be agreed upon. And thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I will abstain from discussing the IZ zone.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman, for that. With County
Mr.
Manager,
Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to ask, maybe we should ask counsel, is it possible for us to do separate motions or give separate instruction on these different bills that we're talking about, just because it's pretty complex?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And I think that would allow us to consider them one at a time, give instruction one at a time, and then move on. And that way, Commissioner Gilman can participate in each of the discussions that he feels is appropriate.
Fair okay, enough.
Mr. Chairman, if you want, I'll continue then with AB 90 at this point. And Commissioner Gilman, I know you had to jump on a little bit late. We are still on the AB 91, so then we'll get right into the innovation zone next. So I'm not putting any inner tie between AB 90 and any other bill under discussion today. This will be heard independently.
Okay.
At this point, then, staff, we still oppose the original AB 90 as it is or as it was to do revenue sharing or to do studies, any of that kind of stuff. However, this is a significant change in direction of the legislature with an interim study. We have said to various legislators and others in the region that we're willing to cooperate and look at these sorts of things. We all know that we have talked about housing out of Painted Rock. We have talked about our master plan with that regard. And with that said, I'm asking for this board to give direction to county staff and lobbyists to support majority leaders' direction to go to an interim study and to participate in an interim study over the next 2 years.
All right. So maybe the better way to handle this would be to take public comment for each one of these individual items. Is there any public comment regarding AB 90? And as a reminder, you can either use the raise your hand feature or unmute yourself using *6 if you're calling in. I'll just give it a second here. Not seeing any public comment, do my fellow commissioners have any questions for County Manager Osborne regarding AB 90?
I have a comment, if I may, Jay. So in reviewing and analyzing this bill, I can tell you our county has looked at several similar proposals during past legislative sessions. And in taking a position as 45 years invested in the marketing of a state and the marketing of an opportunity and competing against every state that's doing the same, whether it be Arizona, New Mexico, California, Utah, we all are in the game to advance our community diversification, our business platforms, et cetera. And so I would just want to send out a message that just taking this process into consideration has the potential of causing cold feet from companies that might be looking at us, because they have no idea how this is going to turn out. But I would say that, for example, if we looked at Tesla, the reason they are in the state of Nevada is because they weren't worried about scheduling risk. All of the other states had too many hurdles to jump, and so they couldn't really plan their schedule to build their company, invest the billions of dollars that they're going to invest with us. And so, although it's probable that we're going to go forward with such a study, and certainly our county is open-minded to joining the conversation in such a study, I'm absolutely disappointed that we are sending out these kinds of signals from our state, and that we are dramatically looking at impacting scheduling risk in the future and over years. So that's my position on AB 90.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any comments at this time regarding AB 90?
I hear and echo Commissioner Gilman's concerns. You know, the original bill, I think, was just 180 degrees from the direction we should be headed. The conversation about impacts is an important one because these are projects on such a scale that they have wide-reaching impacts. But we have to be extremely careful not to have unintended consequences that damage our future potential for economic development. Along with staff and our lobbyists, you know, I was a part of a conversation with the sponsor of this bill. And one of the things that she said that I think, you know, really rang true and allows me to support instructing staff in this way was that she really thought that they should be looked at not just as the original bill talked about between different local jurisdictions, but also looking at the state level and what the impacts are when those abatements are given out at the state level to the local jurisdictions, and then also in reverse. And kind of one of the things that really caught my attention was she made a statement that there were a substantial number of companies that have received abatements that had a number of employees that were receiving Medicaid benefits. And that caused me to raise my eyebrows a little bit because my understanding was that there were requirements as far as levels of compensation for the jobs created, so on and so forth. And that's certainly something that I think warrants looking into. So I definitely understand and echo Commissioner Gilman's concerns. I'm prepared to support staff's recommendation as long as we make sure that it includes the addition that our lobbyist has recommended, which is that the host county of major development and its impacts be included in that. I don't think it would be a fair and complete assessment if that was not part of it.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I do have to agree with you. As long as both sides are taken into consideration, then I think it's going to be a fair study because there are definitely impacts on both sides. So with that said, would you entertain a motion for giving staff direction on AB 90?
I'm happy to make that motion. Commissioner Mitchell moved to instruct staff to express support for AB 90 as amended with the requested addition to include impacts on the host county of any development.
I'll second Clay's motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen. County Manager Osborne, would you like to take on the next item?
Go on, you there. I'd be happy to. So the next one is the Innovation Zone Bill, or BDR as it is, 1109. So as an update to where we are on this, we have met with Blockchain's group, Mr. Mitchell, myself, and our lobbyists, as well as other groups like TRI and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center GID. We have also met with various legislators about our position. And really, in essence, our position has been similar to the letter that was sent out that reflected the board's position on this, both in March 3rd and March 16th. At this point, the discussion with the blockchains group hasn't really resulted in anything we're aware of as far as change or different positions. And we're pretty much at that point. So it is still not a bill. LCB is still writing this. Nobody knows what it looks like. We have asked if we would be provided as a county, the most impacted county, a copy of this bill, a day or three or five before it is dropped in the legislature. And that does not appear to be going to happen. So the bill will get dropped and then everybody in the state will see it at the same time, including us, and then we'll have to respond accordingly. At this point, our message has been consistent. Our master plan supports residential development out of Painted Rock. It describes what that residential development will look like as far as a mixed use, diversified community. The position as far as technology and innovation and blockchains and cryptocurrency and stablecoin, whatever you call it, as long as the state of Nevada takes a position to put the proper framework in place, we're fine with that. We can work with that. We have staff. In fact, folks on our elected officials team also that are looking at doing trainings for county staff on, being able to accept whatever type of technologies might be coming our way with that regard. And I'll let them speak if they would like. And that's kind of where we are at this point. So we believe a bill is going to come out this week. It could be next week, but it's going to be sometime soon. And at that point, then we'll prepare for moving forward. You'll see in the staff report, there is an amended letter. So it's similar to the last letter, but I provided some kind of elaboration on elements that are in it, such as a little bit more discussion on what our master plan says with regard to the type of development I described, a little bit about our planned unit development process. It does explain to the governor that we have received to date no application for residential development, planned unit development, or any other type of such development at Painted Rock. It does talk about amendments that we've made to Title 16 subdivisions and Title 17 zoning that streamlines and makes easier the process of applying for such a development. And it reflects a little bit deeper the 2006 application that was received by the County Commissioners and Planning Commission and approved for a planned unit development residential out at Painted Rock. It does talk a little bit about the quote unquote sandbox environment that the blockchains group has talked about, at least on one occasion in the media, is kind of a place to explore new technologies and innovate and be kind of in a place for the best minds of the world to be able to explore and be quite ingenious. And we love that. And we believe that both our the smart city allowances for Painted Rock, as well as the entitlements that already exist for Tri-Center, are a perfect environment for that sort of thing to occur, as a lot of our companies out there are research and development and tech companies. So it does mention in there a little bit that we have some financial concerns and others as far as separating from the county. And at this point, my recommendation to you is to approve the amended letter with those extra elements. I do want to remind you that both of the letters in the past were submitted to the governor himself, as well as the governor's Office of Economic Development. We do look forward to a response, and this letter will also be the same.
Thank you for that, County Manager. With that, I'm going to go to public comment regarding the Innovation Zone. As a reminder, you can use the raise your hand feature or unmute yourself using *6. And another reminder that public comment is limited to 3 minutes per individual. Is there any public comment regarding the Innovation Zone? Give it just a second here. All right, not seeing any public comment. I will reach out to Vice Chairman Mitchell. You have any comments?
I have a couple of thoughts. You know, I've certainly lots of discussions going on about this issue, and I've been pleased to have the opportunity to do a little bit of constituent outreach as well. I was able to meet with some of the residents that are in most highly affected by this proposal in the immediate area, and some good conversation there. You know, my feeling is that the direct conversations that have happened have been reasonably productive in one aspect, and that is in really drilling down and identifying a few of the key issues at play here. But one of the things that concerns me is the proponents continue to publicly mischaracterize our position. And I don't say that lightly, but you know, as recently as this morning, I heard them on a podcast saying in no uncertain terms that this being their proposal is something that would never be permitted in Story County. And while I can't say, give a commitment that it would be permitted, there's a proper process for that. They haven't even tried. And so Chair Carmona, I don't know what your feelings are about instructing staff in addition to the recommendations that County Manager Osborne gave. If I don't know what your thoughts are on maybe instructing them also to explore or issue some sort of direct public communication in that regard to make absolutely clear to clarify that aspect of this discussion. Because it's frustrating for me that continues to be said, and I just don't see the validity in it.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Mitchell. I agree with some of your comments. You know, that we want to engage in dispelling all the fake news that may get put out there. I guess I'm open to that. You know, we've tried to be very available to discuss these matters with the blockchains team or R&R lobbying firm. I think we've made our position known in multiple areas. We've been quoted in papers. Folks have attended the meetings. I don't know how much louder we need to say the same thing over and over again. I think that if we're going to move forward with any sort of viable discussion, everybody needs to make sure that they're telling the right story. I would say that, Austin's or our recent letter, I think, explains our position again. And if we need to publish that and send it out to all the news channels, that's fine. But, if we're going to be trying to work with these folks like we do every other business out at the industrial park, I would expect that only the truth is said. So I don't know how much more direction we need than, maybe to publish our letter, send it out as a press release, maybe send it out to all of the legislators down in Carson City, so that, again, regardless of the message being given by others, Story County's position is pretty clear, and that's my take on it. So, okay.
Yeah. And I would support that. And certainly my comments are not any sort of disappointment or condemnation with the efforts that have been done already. I think the letter is an excellent representation of our position. I think my wondering is does it make sense for us to be more proactive in the distribution and specifically public outreach in regards to that aspect of the conversation.
Yeah. Again, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know what level you're referring to, but I definitely would support getting that most recent letter out again to the legislatures. If we want to send it out as a press release to all the news channels out there, I fully support that.
Okay.
So,
and I think we can leave it, appropriately vague and let staff make the call on specifically how and how broadly that gets distributed.
Sure.
Just giving some general direction in that direction.
Yeah. One of the things I've stuck with since day one, is again, would really like to see the bill, there's been a lot of verbiage floating around, a lot of suspicion, a lot of, news outlets trying to, pick apart what they feel is important in what's been passed around. But again, I would say once that actual legislation comes out, then we may reevaluate our position or think of a different plan of attack to move forward. But I think we beat this thing to death. If you'd like to entertain a motion for direction to staff, I'd be happy.
Okay. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to instruct staff to issue the updated letter describing our position in regards to the Innovation Zone proposal and to distribute it as they see fit.
I can agree with that. So there's a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. County Manager Osborne, do we have another item on the list that you'd like to discuss?
There are a few, Mr. Chairman. I'll go through them if you would like.
Please.
And these, you're welcome to give direction as you want. I'll just give you a summary of some bills that we're tracking. There's lots of other bills we're tracking, but these are the ones probably of most significant to you. I want to remind you that a lot of our department heads and elected officials have also been not only tracking, but also responding to bills and to Mary Walker, our lobbyist group. And I really appreciate that. It's a huge help. And if I just want to allow them opportunity also to share any of those that they're working on. So Senate Bill 98 is our bill. It's the Carson Water Subconservancy District membership. So far, nothing has changed. It is still passed the Senate. We're a little concerned. There's some rules down in the legislature this year that are not being followed as normal. They're kind of playing in a different environment this year with deadlines. And so we're just watching to make sure that this bill doesn't, lose air and just not go anywhere and accidentally die. That's a real concern with a lot of bills are in the legislature right now, whether you're on one side or another. You have any concerns on subconservancy? Okay. Other bills, just in brief, AB 39 and as well as 276. This is public records requests that would create a double penalty, including double court fees. If we were to miss a public records request or somehow not comply with it, that bill does not appear to be going anywhere, but it's still alive and still being discussed. Counties are coming out of the woodwork, as well as Nevada Association of Counties. What kind of penalties do you really need to put on a county? These could be tens of thousands of dollars, could be $100,000 when you talk about certain attorney's fees and things on a double penalty. It's not necessary. AB 249, this is the construction hours bill. If you remember, no construction after certain hours. This bill is alive, but it has been completely converted to only to apply to common interest ownership communities. It would not be something that the county or a city would have the ability to do or would be forced to do. So basically, it wouldn't apply to us. We really appreciate the sponsor of the bill making that change and hearing the people in the state. AB 322. This is cannabis events. We just need to watch this. This is dealing with special events and selling cannabis openly. We're against that. We don't believe the bill is going to go anywhere, but you never know. AB 341. This is cannabis lounges. We're not in support of this either for pretty obvious reasons. We don't think that Virginia City is where this would likely apply, would be proper place for this. SB 39, cryptocurrency bill. Kefauver is heavily involved in this, Senator Kefauver. As discussed a little bit earlier, we're fine with that. As long as the state puts together the proper framework for these sorts of things, we're preparing to embrace it. SB 94, trespass on ways. If you remember, this would allow a private property owner to put a gate across a county road if permission is allowed or provided. And then when the permission is no longer there, that gate would have to be removed. That bill has been changed significantly to try to create balance between Eastern Nevada and more urban-esque counties. We're not quite urban, but we're kind of in that Western Nevada different situation than the East. We're so far going along with that bill. It seems to be amended to probably provide us some benefit or favor. SB 107, wrongful termination. I might have to go back and look at the years, but this would essentially say you wrongfully or you terminate somebody and they can come back to you years and years later and take action against you long after the anything has ever happened. We're not for that at all. SB 67, this is the public works would be allowed to work on projects that are beyond two or up to $250,000 in-house as opposed to $100,000 where it is. This bill does not appear to be going anywhere. It probably is going to die and it will stay at 100,000. And that's all I have, at least for this round.
Thank you for that, County Manager Osborne. Is there any public comment regarding any of the bills that Austin recently covered? I'll give it just a second here. Any of my fellow commissioners have any questions for Austin?
No questions, Shay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance.
I don't have any questions. I just have one comment on the public records penalty bills. My only comment there is I would like to encourage the county to proactively continue the efforts it's already started in advancing access and transparency proactively. I don't necessarily believe that the penalties, the bills are the right direction to go, but I think that, you know, the internally, if we can continue our commitment and continue to make strides in that regard, then it'll serve our public well.
Indeed, I agree with you, Vice Chairman. I think this might be a good time to notify folks, and maybe Austin can go into a little more depth. We've worked very hard to get as much public documents out on our website. I know that it's not necessarily very user-friendly. I think we're taking steps to make that a little more user-friendly, but that's a fairly big project. But there are a lot of documents available online already. And I know that we are trying to streamline that process. Maybe Austin can touch on that a little bit.
I'd be happy to, and I remind us, Vanessa and James Dean are on with us as well. They've both been involved in putting together some processes. So right now we comply with our public records request in an expedient manner. And I understand that media has actually outreached certain people such as yourselves and been happy with responses. Our website, we have a good website, but you're right, it's clunky and it needs to be polished. And Rad Strategies and Rennell have been working with various groups in our team to get that better, to make it easier to find things and not have to go into document centers to go search things, to actually be able to pull it up in a little bit more user-friendly approach. Also, I believe we invested $40,000 last year in the OnBase program that will allow these public records requests to become automated, where there'll be a portal, and then it'll help on our staff side to be able to monitor departments when they're loading things into these requests. Then that department can put a green flag up and say they're done, and that allows us to kind of funnel everything in. Then we can automate it, run it through the DA's office to make sure everything's legally good, and then out it'll go in a somewhat automated fashion. And also we'll have trackability for various reasons, including, you know, going to court, for example, and showing that, yep, here's the exact tracking of every records request that happened. So these things will make it a lot better. And I'll continue working with Rad and Ranelle and her team on seeing where she is with her folks on the website. And she's working with our department heads. Everybody's involved in that process with her.
Thank you for that, Austin. I don't believe we have any other direction to give you. So I think we're done with the motions for item number 8.
Chair, do we want to just see if there are any department heads or other elected officials that want to update us on any bills they're specifically looking at?
Are there any department heads that want to update us on some bills? I'll give it a second. All right, not seeing any. We will move on to item number 9. This is discussion only. No action or public comment will be taken. We're going to move on to staff reports. And top of the list, the Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, Commissioner. One thing for by way of information. For the last decade or so, the Sheriff's Office has been involved with promoting Special Olympics. We've done a couple of different things the last few weeks, meeting with folks, raising awareness for that. We'll be doing another one on Friday down in Lockwood at the Lockwood Market. If anybody would like to come and find out about Special Olympics or ask about happenings at the Sheriff's Office or have a one-on-one conversation about any legislative stuff that may impact law enforcement and the relationship with the community, we would welcome them down there. And that'll be, like I said, at the Lockwood Market between 8 and 10 a.m. this Friday.
Thank you for that, Sheriff. I'm going to do a shameless plug here. I'm participating in that polar plunge. And if anybody would like to donate funds to my plunge or anybody at the Sheriff's Office, you can find it on Facebook. I am definitely not looking forward to the cold temperatures, but looking forward to supporting a good cause. So thank you for that, Sheriff. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for the Sheriff? Not seeing any. I'm going to move on to the Fire Department. Chief Longcar.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. One thing to update is we've got our new battalion chief, Bob Reiser. We picked him up from Central Lyon Fire. He came with years of experience as a battalion chief. So he was a great asset to us. He started last week. So we're excited to get him on board, get him on his shift, and just moving forward. Second to that, I just kind of want to take some time to remind everyone, allergy season's here. You know, our call volume's starting to kick up a lot, and COVID's still in effect. So I know there's some similar symptoms that they may feel, but just a reminder, allergy season's in full bore, so don't get too paranoid. We're always here to help, but take care of yourselves as well. And other than that, I have some other items later on that I'll address. That's all.
Thank you, Chief Longcar. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for the chief? I will echo the welcome to the new battalion chief. Look forward to working with you. So thank you for that, Chief Longcar. Next on the list is Public Works. Jason Wurzbicki, are you with us today?
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners.
With video too. Wow.
Yeah, we're stepping up in the world.
Yeah. Just dip your camera a little bit lower or move back, and then we can see your whole face. There you go.
Is that better?
Much better.
Just gonna have a couple things. As you are aware, you know, we started some drainage work out on Cartwright to try to get ahead of the slurry seal project that'll be coming through in probably mid to late May. We have to wait until we're guaranteed no overnight freezing temps for that project. And as of yesterday, we are going full bore on Edith down in Mark Twain. Both sides of Edith are got fully ground out last night, and it's being widened out from 16 feet to 20 feet. And they're hauling in base right now and hopefully paving maybe the first lift on Friday, if not the first part of next week.
great news. Thank you for that. Anything else? No?
That's all I have right now.
All right. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Jason? All right. Thanks again, Jason, for that update. Much appreciated. Are you covering for Mike Northan today?
No, I believe Mike's on.
All right. Moving on to projects. Mike Northan.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northan, Operations Projects Coordinator with my new camera, thanks to Public Works. I know the board's very busy today, so I'll keep it very, very brief. I just wanted to report on item one, the Justice Court project. It's finally wrapping up. We're at about 99.95% complete. Got some phones and furniture and some odds and ends to wrap up. Overall, it's been a great project, and we ended up with a really nice facility. So I would encourage members of the board and members of the public, it's your facility too, to go by and have a look at that. It came out very nice. Justice Court should be up and operating at full capacity here very shortly. Item number two is the V&T Freight Depot. This one is also wrapping up. We have a little bit of backfill to do on some of the trenches and some final compaction. Currently just waiting on a monitoring agreement for the fire alarm for that system to go live. Minute we have that, we're going to get that fence pulled down and get the site looking back to normal. Item number three is the conduit project. This involves the radio tower out at USA Parkway. And we are complete. We're now in full compliance with the NDOT local interlocal agreement. This actually opens up the tower to our IT and communications departments for their equipment to attach to. April 8 was actually our target completion date, so we're a little bit ahead of schedule on this one. And that's all I have for you gentlemen today.
Thank you, Mike. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Mike?
No, I was just wondering if maybe the sheriff's department would be willing to give tours of the new Justice Court. Of course, maybe that's for the wrong reasons.
All right. Thanks again, Mike, and thank you for that, Clay. Moving on to communications and dispatch, Becky Parsons.
Good morning, Becky Parsons. We are doing our training next week for our phones, and hopefully with that good news from Mike Northan that we will be on target for 2 weeks from now to open up our new building.
Awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Are you guys going to get cameras too, so we can see you guys?
Eventually. I believe we are, on the outside anyway.
All right. Well, thank you very much. My commissioners have any questions for Becky and communications? Dispatch? Nope. All right. Moving right along. Emergency management, Joe Curtis. I know he has a camera.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And commissioners. A short overview for you today. Currently, in terms of our COVID status, we've got 90 cases as our total amount for this point in time. We still have 9 active cases in the county, and still only have 3 individuals that passed away. The total for the Quad County during the month of March was 11,977. And they had 1,273 active. That's down by about 400 on a regular basis. So Story County has a positivity rate as of yesterday, Monday, is 0 per 100,000 population over the past 14 days. That's how they calculate it, based on that 100,000 population. But we're at 0, so that is a comforting factor to me. Our planned transition for May 1st, I have an item on the agenda to discuss that here in a little bit. But I've spoken with a number of the businesses out at TRI concerning the vaccination site that we have out there. And they have told me that many of their employees have been participating in that vaccination site that was set up by Carson City Health and Human Services. And that's about it that I have for you today. I know Laura has some other information on the general COVID testing and vaccinations that she will report.
Thank you for that, Joe. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Joe today?
Just want to thank him for that man on the street report.
Yeah.
You bet.
Caught us off guard. That was a short one.
Yes.
All right. Again, thank you, Joe, for that. Moving on to community relations, Laura Mather. Always at the golf course. You're on mute. Or your audio is not working. Now you're muted.
Am I unmuted now?
You are good now.
Excellent. I have way too many buttons here. All right. So I'm going to make up for Joe's short report here. So giving you guys a heads up. So Laura, for the record, Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator. I'm going to start with vaccinations. Beginning yesterday, April 5th, in the Quad Counties and in several other of the counties in the state of Nevada, anybody 16 years and older can be vaccinated, and it's not limited to those with any sort of underlying health condition. With us being in the Quad Counties, if somebody lives or works within one of the Quad Counties, they can be vaccinated in one of the Quad Counties. So that opens up a lot of opportunities to get vaccinated. I do want to add to that, though, that there are, as we're sort of moving away from this being an emergency management issue to, unfortunately, a sort of a norm, a lot of the pharmacies are now vaccinating. So Walmart, Safeway, Smith's Pharmacies, they're all doing vaccinations. Immunize Nevada has a vaccine locator website. So you can go to their website. They can help people find who's giving vaccinations and where. It's also very important to remember that appointments are required for everything, whether it is with the pharmacy. Nevada Health Centers is also doing vaccinations, as well as other health clinics throughout Northern Nevada. So I encourage people who are interested to sort of reach out, do some checking on the internet. Also, the state of Nevada COVID hotline, which is 1-800-401-0946. They can also assist people in both making an appointment and finding vaccination availability. For the Quad County region, if anybody needs assistance in making an appointment for their vaccination, they can call the Quad County COVID hotline. That's 775-434-1988. And again, gethealthycarsoncity.org. If you go to that website, that'll take you to the appointment system for making an appointment. I do want to point out that when the vaccinations are full in certain locations, it will give a date out several months in the future. That is a glitch in the system. That's not correct. So please don't let that discourage you. Unfortunately, when vaccinations are ordered, they come in on a week-by-week basis. So Carthen City Health and Human Services does not know very much in advance how many vaccinations they're going to be receiving. And so that's why it seems like there's not a whole lot of advanced warning given when it comes to those vaccination appointments. So again, I just encourage everybody to check that website regularly as the vaccinations come up and are made available. So Carson City Health and Human Services is planning, as we move through this, to have a vaccination pod in each of the four counties on a weekly basis. Now they have focused for Story County in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. So our next vaccination here in Virginia City will be at the end of April. Again, I encourage people to go to that Get Healthy Carson City website to look for those appointment availabilities. We will continue to host our testing point of distributions twice a month. We were told we will be doing that on an indefinite basis. Our last event, which was March 24th, we had 21 people attend that. April's testing events are going to be April 7th and April 21st from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at our gray shack on E Street. Our volunteers continue to be a huge part of this process, both with the vaccinations and the testing. They make all the difference in the world for staff to get through this, to get through these and make them as smooth as possible for the public. In March alone, the volunteers donated 81.25 hours, and that brings their hours up to 412 from the beginning of this pandemic and our testing. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you very much for that, Laura. Is there any questions for my fellow commissioners on that useful info? Not seeing any. Again, thank you, Laura, for that and your team's hard work. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thanks. Moving right along to the VCTC, Mr. Denny Dotson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. For the record, Denny Dotson, just one quick thing to add. I know you got a long meeting today. Really, it's just about special events. Obviously, we're under a little bit of scrutiny on how we permit a event here for the next couple of months. But today we are releasing to really for to the merchants here in town and some with the general public a virtual calendar of events be posted on the Virginia City Tourism website. And it'll be updated as we need to accordingly with the way things are changing. But it gives the opportunity for folks to plan. We know that there's a lot of hotels are, you know, getting phone calls, restaurants that need to order supplies, that kind of stuff. So we are working with a tentative calendar that we are releasing today. So that's all I've got for any, unless there's any questions.
Fellow commissioners, have any questions for Denny? All right. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. Water and sewer, Mr. Mike Nevin, we missed you last meeting. Are you here this time? You're on mute, my friend. There you go.
Now, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, sir.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Carmona. Fellow commissioners, for the record, Mike Nevin will give you the updates on the Hillside Tanks Project and the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant Project. I'll start with the tanks. The first attempt at getting the new water line hooked up from the first new tank down to the highway, we ran into a few little bumps and hurdles there. This line has to be cut into and then routed to a flow meter, which is actually in the Howard Street right-of-way, just to the north of the existing water treatment plant. Cut into the line that day and discovered that the flushing process initially completed by the contractor was not sufficient and did not meet our satisfaction. So in order to make this right, we required that the contractor go ahead and reflush the line. We actually had to dig up a portion of Ophir Grade right next to the highway to 342 there in order to accomplish flushing at two different locations. We were able to use the head pressure in the new water tank to get a full volume of pipe to complete this. That did, however, also require that we re-disinfect that line, let it sit and bake for a few days, and then quality test the water once that process was completed. So it did delay that initial hookup for about a week, but, you know, it had to be done right. And we were there to make certain that, in fact, it was completed properly. So the new tank, the first new tank and that water line were put into service on the 25th of March. So great progress there. Following this, the existing water tanks required draining. When they of course, constructed those tanks many, many years back. There were really no provisions provided for adequately draining of those tanks through any process other than letting it run wild wherever it decided to go. Initially, we thought that we were going to have to do a workaround and put the O-line back into service at both ends of the vault. We reached out to USDA and got approval for a change order in the amount of about $3,600 to complete this. Well, in rethinking this, we came up with a little bit better solution, and that was to drain those existing tanks back down through the backflow process through the water treatment plant, and then discharge that water into the backwash ponds, which are outside of the treatment facility there. That went fairly quickly. So there was a little bit of water left in the tanks, and we had the contractor just put in some sump pumps and drain it down the drainage ditch that exists up there at the site. So, we're able to save that $3,600. So, you know, any little bit of savings here and there, you know, counts a long way. And then also, you know, the look of draining water down along the highway there on 342, in my opinion, would have been, you know, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but we would have had a lot of calls. People would have suspected we probably had a water leak somewhere. And anyway, so that went well. Last week, the old existing two hillside tanks were demolished and removed. That process went pretty quickly. They had a big excavator up there with a big shear on it, and made short order of actually both those tanks. The one little bolted tank was in real, real bad shape. It kind of crumbled like a aluminum can, so to speak. So currently the contractor is prepping site for the tank number two. Of course, this includes removal of overburden, the cutting of the slope for the installation of the debris retaining wall behind the tanks, and then prepping the site for the tank footings and foundation. This work is anticipated to be completed by month end, with the construction of tank number two starting shortly thereafter. So that's all on the hillside tanks. Progress moving along up there. The Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant, as I mentioned prior, the delay in the procurement of the metal building that is going to cover the new package treatment plant. The building was ordered by Raymond Brothers mid-February. The manufacturer has provided them with a lead time of 17 weeks. So this unexpected delivery now pushes the delivery of that building onto site of about mid-June. And we're not the only ones affected by this sort of delay. It's due to, of course, supply chain disruptions, materials cost escalations, the COVID has an impact, and it's a nationwide impact that's being felt. In fact, and Jason can chime in if he's still here, but he was looking to order a pressure valve pressure control valve for Lower Gold Hill, and they told him to anticipate 5 to 6 months delivery. So it's just, you know, something that we have to live with. Myself and Austin attended a meeting with the engineer, SNC, Raymond Brothers, regarding the delay process in getting the building to the site. And they explained it and the impacts, of course, that are associated with this are the continued pumping costs of the septic system after June. SMC has agreed to pay for any additional pumping after June until the project and the new plant goes online, now anticipated to be mid-September. So that'll be a savings to the county of around $11,000, roughly. During the time of cement activity at the site, SNC realizes that they will be responsible for the site safety and securement of that site down there. Currently, all the footings and foundation concrete has been placed and cured. Rebar under slab is in place. There's a little bit of delay currently in getting some reinforcement baskets constructed. Again, material delay along that line. They have to go in also under slab to provide some reinforcement to the rebar in some areas there. So we're currently awaiting those to be constructed and then put in place. Once they are, then the slab will be poured and allowed to cure. NV Energy is expected to begin their work to extend the three-phase power to the site here soon. They had initially thought a couple weeks back, maybe getting that started within about 3 weeks. So it could be any time that they would start their contract work, getting that line extended to the site. So then again, the final project completion now is expected to go into October. The plant will be online hopefully mid-September. This date could be moved up, and it just kind of depends on all components coming together and some of the subcontractors working simultaneously once the building erection gets started, i.e. electrical and that sort of thing. So that's the update on Gold Hill as well. And that concludes my report, unless you folks have questions, of course.
Thank you for that detailed report, Mike. My fellow commissioners have any questions for Mike? Nope. The only question I have, Mike, are we still on track for the Gold Hill sewer project and tanks? I mean, there's no real delays, right, that you're talking about?
Except for the building, Commissioner Carmona, as I just alluded to. But that was anticipated, and, you know, now we kind of have that pinned down, and they're pretty confident that the building will show up about mid-June. So,
oh, good.
Once it does, erection will start. At first, we thought, well, maybe we can put the plant online prior to that. That could have been a possibility, but there were too many unforeseen variables, and we decided it probably wouldn't work out well to have a operational plant and then have folks in there trying to construct a building over it. We're going to have to continue with pumping of the septic, but as I mentioned, SNC has agreed to cover any cost after June of this year. So good thing for the county there.
Oh, indeed. I mean, lumber prices have basically gone up about 35%. I'm sure steel is right there with it. So,
well, exactly. And one thing, like you mentioned that, Commissioner Carmona, 2x4 prior to the pandemic, about 98 cents at Home Depot, I think now is about $5.10. So,
right.
There you go.
Yep. Glad I'm not building anything. Yep. All right. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Always appreciate it. Moving on to the comptroller's office, Comptroller McCain.
Good morning. Nothing now. You'll hear from me quite a bit later in the meeting.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Moving on to the assessor's office. Assessor Seddon, you have anything for us today?
Good morning, Chairman. I just want to let everyone know that next week we will be having a small assessor's conference here in town on Wednesday and Thursday. So it's going to be a little crazy the rest of this week and next week, getting everything finalized and set up. If you need me, give me a call on my cell if you can't reach me here in the office. And that's really about it.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I hope the conference goes well. Are you going to have assessors from all over the state in town, or is it just more of a local?
It's going to be, it's kind of, we're doing a hybrid because, of course, we are adhering to COVID policies. So we have about, I think I've got like 15 people coming in from other assessors and a couple of other, actually, I think there's 20 that's going to be there that are assessors and deputy assessors, and the rest will be attending virtually via Zoom. I will go ahead.
Anybody have to listen to this nonsense?
Pardon?
Sorry, we had somebody whose mic was on. Apparently, okay. We've got some nonsense going on here.
We have been, we tried to utilize several of our, our county vendors as far as like restaurants and stuff to provide a little bit of a little revenue boosting for those guys. We're going to be at the Red Dog on Wednesday night. So if you guys want to stop in and meet any of the other assessors from around the state, pop on in on Wednesday night and introduce yourselves and say hello.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that conference. Moving on. Excuse me, I've got to pull up my list here again. Planning Department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning. I don't have anything besides all the items I have on the agenda later. So thank you.
Noted. Thank you. Our recorder's office. Recorder Martinez
with us. Yep. Hi. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. A lot of sunshine there. Just a few quick items. We're continue to work on our records project, so we're making more records available online. And if anyone is searching and doesn't see something online, just give us a call. We can help you get that document you need. The second item is Fraud Guard. It's a feature that's available through our website. You can go in and register your name along with your email address, and you'll receive alerts whenever a document records in your name. So it has the potential to help prevent fraud. It's also very helpful if you've refinanced and you're looking for reconveyance or any other type of document that might record in your name. So it's a feature, again, on the recorder's website called Fraud Guard. And please take a look and call us if you have any questions.
Appreciate that. Would you be able to email a direct link over to the commissioners? We can disperse that out to the community.
Yes, absolutely. I'll do that.
Searching through that. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Any commissioners have any questions for Ms. Martinez? Ms. Martinez? Nope. All right. Thanks again for that update, Marnie.
Thank you.
Moving on to the IT department. James Dean.
Good morning, commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT director. Just real quick. Just is online. It is on their phones are working for outbound calls. We're working on getting their original phone numbers ported over from the courthouse. It's going to take a couple of weeks, but it's moving. And then, as Mike Northen said, the site for USA Parkway is complete. The conduit's in. I have keys to the building and permission from NDOT to begin installing equipment. So that was the last leg of that, and we're moving forward. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you very much. Fellow commissioners, have any questions for James? All right, moving along. Human Resources, Toby Witten.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Human Resources has nothing to report at this time.
Thank you. Moving on to community development, Martin Azevedo.
Mr. Chairman, Martin Azevedo informed me to let you know he is out doing inspections, but he does not have anything.
Okay, thank you. I didn't see Eric on here. Do we have community chest with us today? Any updates?
Yes, we do. No updates for today.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Moving on to the senior center, Stacy York. Got any good news for us?
This is Stacy, and no updates today.
Okay. Moving right along. I noticed that we have somebody from St. Mary's here. Erica, you have anything for us regarding St. Mary's?
Thank you, Chairman. We do not have an update for this meeting. Thanks.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Moving on to the Justice Court, Judge Harrington, you have any news?
Hi there. Can you see me?
Look at that. Brand new courtroom.
Yes, we have landed. We are moving in. We came, and this is Judge Harrington for the record, commissioners. I'm reporting from our new Justice Courtroom, and we are currently moving in. We're getting all the audiovisual finished in our courtroom this week, and the clerks will be trained, and we love it. We're very happy, and we're thankful to all the different agencies in the county that have been helping us with this move. We are going to schedule an open house. We haven't got a date for that yet, but our court goes live on Monday. So I think Tuesday is our first full court day. So we're currently moving in and getting phones, everything worked out, and you will get a date for an open house. In the meantime, anybody who, you can come by and see our lobby and the courtroom. We're just not quite ready for an open house yet.
Fantastic. Okay. What great news. So thank you. Look
thank
forward to
it. Thank you.
That. All right. Any commissioners have any questions for the judge? Nope. All right. Moving right along. The district attorney's office. I think we have both our DA and assistant DA with us today.
I'll start first. I have nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman.
All right. And for the record, you are District Attorney Ann Langer?
DA, District Attorney Ann Langer. Thank you.
Making sure not everybody has video. All right. Anything from the assistant DA today?
I would just, this is Keith Loomis. I would just advise that last time I told you that the Stericycle case have been dismissed by Judge Russell for a lack of standing on the part of the petitioners. That process has now resulted in the petitioner filing a writ petition in the Nevada Supreme Court. That will require the Supreme Court to decide whether or not they want the county to answer or not. And so that'll be the next step. And that's all I have. Right.
Thank you for that.
To add to that, DA Langer, they have not, the Supreme Court has not requested us to respond yet, but we will give you an update on that if that, in fact, does occur in the future.
Thank you for that. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for either one? Nope. All right. Second to last, County Manager Austin Osborne.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And last but never least, the county clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Nothing today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. Appreciate you taking the time out to join us during the meeting. this brings us to item number 10, which is board comment. I'm going to reach out to Commissioner Gilman first. Is there anything you'd like to say today, sir?
Yeah. Very much, Commissioner. I want to give a shout out. On Sunday, the 28th, I had a medical issue and had cause to call for an ambulance. And our Story County group, the ambulance, the fire department, I would tell you the sheriff's department was first there on site. And shortly thereafter, the full staff. I was so impressed with the professional, the care, the bedside manner, the condition of the ambulance, the equipment that was readily available. And I'm going to tell you, these guys went out of their way to take care of me, and a lot of comfort all the way in. But I can't say enough about the professional opportunity that has now grown in Story County. And truly, if you get in trouble, we've got some guys that can get you through. So thank you so very much, Story County.
Thank you for that, Commissioner. Glad all is well on your end.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have anything today?
I did not have anything specific today. Thank you.
All right. I actually do. And it's a correction regarding the meeting for the Polar Plunge down in Lockwood. The date of that is actually April 23rd from 8 in the morning until 10. If you wanted to meet with the sheriff and talk about what you can do or how you can donate to the Polar Plunge, I believe he gave the wrong date. April 23rd, just so that everybody knows, is the day before the plunge. So just wanted to make that correction. And that is all I have. So thank you, everybody. We're going to move on to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to accept the draft May 1st COVID-19 Story County Transition Plan pursuant to Governor Sisolak's plan to transition COVID responsibilities and authority to the individual counties. And for that, we're going to reach out to Joe Curtis.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Curtis, for the record.
I have some audio problems, Joe. You're coming in real soft.
How about now?
Much better. Thank you.
sorry about that. Joe Curtis for the record. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. As you're aware, the governor is considering transferring some degree of self-rule to the counties in regard to dealing with the COVID-19 emergency that we've been so deeply engrossed since March 1st of 2020. In preparation for that eventuality, each county was directed to prepare a plan for submission to the state for consideration of how the county would propose to mitigate and move forward in dealing with the pandemic after May 1st of this year. County Manager Osborne asked us to prepare a plan that would be found acceptable to the governor's COVID task force so that Story County could be found compliant to transfer COVID reopening plans moving forward after May 1st. Therefore, we brought together a team of about 9 people from within the county government and representatives of VC business communities. And we also gathered input from several of the tribe businesses. And we came away with many of the points that we had really thought about to include in the plan. We wrote a draft and submitted it to the Quad County Health Group, which is Carson City Health and Human Services. And they provided some excellent guidance for us in what they believe to be exactly what the state task force would be asking to see from us. So we were able to see this information from Carson City Health and Human Services put to our plan and make it a little bit better and to show that we are not only an individual county submitting a plan, but that we are also in part of the Quad County group, that we are all in this thing together. The 4 counties have produced their own plans, which are very similar to each other, to show that the Quad County region is, in fact, all on the same page. Carson City Health and Human Services will also submit an overarching plan that will present a picture of coordination between the Quad County region. Before we can submit our final product to the governor's COVID task force for review and further input, it needed to have the acceptance of our county commissioners, and thus we are here before you today. That team product was forwarded to you prior to this meeting for your review and consideration, and that product is now before you, for your approval, so that we may move forward and present it to the governor's COVID task force. County Manager Osborne will actually present the plan to a meeting of the governor's COVID task force on April 14th. They will then review the plan and potentially offer any recommendations they may have for including into the plan. And then any such changes that they might have would be included in it and then resubmitted to the task force for a final review and hopefully approval for transition on May 1st. So unless there's any questions, I thank you. If you have any questions, I'm right here.
All right. Let's reach out to the public and see if there's any public comment regarding this item. As a reminder, you can use the raise your hand feature or star 6 to unmute yourself if you have any questions for Joe. Not seeing any public comment, do either one of my commissioners have any questions for Joe?
I do, and my first question is, do we anticipate any pushback on making a move to 100% occupancy, or do we feel that given our statistics, that's something that we anticipate we could get support from the state?
Well, I'm not certain, Commissioner Mitchell, if we would be allowed to go to 100% on May 1st, but our plan is to move in that direction. So that at some point in the recent future, or the immediate future, I guess we should say, after May 1st, that we maintain our mitigation program, that we maintain our movement to flatten out the whole casework in Story County, which we are moving towards as we speak, that they would then allow us to move forward. As we get into it, if we decide that we would like to try to move to a total 100% before July 1st, as it stands right now, we would have to resubmit our plan to the state based on the information that we have and provide a justification for being able to move to that total 100% factor. So I'm hopeful that we will be able to, between that May 1st and possibly the middle of June or the 1st of June even, that we might be able to move forward and actually be allowed to go to 100% occupancy. That would be my hope.
Okay. And would it be considered boasting or vanity to change our positivity rate to zero just because that's what it is right now?
No, I think as long as we stipulate the date that we got that information from. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's something they're already going to have that information. We don't have to tell them that actually, because they have it right in front of them, because they're the ones that put it out.
Gotcha.
So.
No, Greg.
Thank you.
Sorry, Clay.
No, you're good.
Austin, did you have a question for Joe?
Sure, Ms. Austin Osborne, for the record. Commissioner Mitchell, everything that Joe said, I really do believe in conversations with the task force will be accepted just fine. And Joe and his group have worked real hard to be consistent with the Quad Counties. And that's all I want to say. Thanks.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have any questions, Joe, but I do just want to compliment you and everybody else. I know it's been an interesting task, but you know, I feel very comfortable with where we're at and what you've produced. So thank you for your work, and thank you for everybody that was participating in that. It's just unprecedented times. So everybody's adapted very well. So
I thank you. And I also give thanks to the government level people that worked with us to accomplish this. And the businesses within the community here, we got a lot of great input by including one of the major businesses in the community. And they went out and actually did some survey work on their own to try to get input from other businesses. So we had great participation on an individual business basis.
Glad to hear that, Joe. Thank you. Seeing no public comment and no other questions from my fellow commissioners, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion?
Sure, I can do that. Let me get back to the right page. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff. Sorry, wrong one. I was one page up too far. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Story County May 1st COVID-19 transition plan and that it be presented to the governor's COVID-19 task force for their input and or recommendations.
I'll second Clay's motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, commissioners. Appreciate your support and review of the whole plan.
You're welcome. Moving on to item number 12. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of section of auditor for fiscal selection of auditor for fiscal year ending in June 30, 2021. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning again. Yes, I am recommending that we contract with DePetrio Thornton once again for our auditing services. They have been our auditors since 2017. During that time, we have undergone many changes from a new financial software, which they were an integral part in helping us with, to a new comptroller, to other new department heads, and they've surpassed every expectation. So I recommend that we move with them one more year.
Yeah, I must concur. They've done a great job. All right. With that said, is there any public comment regarding item number 12? Not seeing any public comment. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Jennifer? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve DePietro and Thornton CPA Limited as our auditor for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2021, and authorizing Austin Osborne, County Manager, to sign the attached engagement letter.
I'll second Clay's motion.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
All right. Bringing us to item number 13, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of special use permit request 2021-10 by applicants Chris and Kate Hukari. The applicants request an SUP to allow for a 5-foot side yard setback from the roadway easement line on the north side of the property and for a 12-foot side yard setback along the south property line. The property is located within the Virginia City Highlands at 2045 Alpine Road, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 003-081-43. Kathy, you have the floor.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. This is a special use permit request for side yard setbacks. This is a property that's in the Virginia City Highlands subdivision, which is the 1 acre. This parcel itself is a diamond shape, and it has the Alpine Road roadway, 50-foot wide roadway easement on the west side and the north side. So when you add that in, that eats up probably about a third of their parcel. And then because of the shape itself, it leaves for a very long and narrow type parcel. So the applicant is requesting to be able to go to a 12-foot setback on the south side of the parcel and a 5-foot setback from the roadway easement on the north side of the parcel. Excuse me. The applicant has received their permit for their residence, which is meeting all the setbacks. They did get started a bit early and have got some accessory structures out there that got relocated in the wrong spots. The building inspectors are working with them on correcting those, so everything's in the appropriate locations. When we set out the notices to adjacent property owners, we did have one person respond. They had questions about the roadway itself and just how it was located. And so we've answered those questions, and they didn't have any concerns with the actual setback requirements. Staff is recommending approval, and the Planning Commission voted 6-0 to recommend approval. We had one person that was absent that night. So I can answer any questions. I believe Mr. Hukari might be on the iPhone name,
I'm not positive that's him though, but other than that, I'm happy to answer any questions also.
Yeah, Mr. Hukari, are you with us today?
Yes, I am, Mr. Commissioner.
Did you have any statements before I take public comment on this?
No, we just would very much like to obviously have the setback for our accessory building for our what we call as a future barn. Just gives us, I think the whole project will have a better feel and better look and a little more distance between buildings and just overall have a better look than if we had to go with the 15-foot setback on that roadway, which would then put us at 65 feet from our property line to our first structure.
Fair enough. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment, do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Kathy or the applicant? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion for this SUP?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. In accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings under Section 3A of the staff report and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a 5-foot side yard setback for the roadway easement line on the north side of the property and of a 12-foot side yard setback along the south property line. Properties located within the Virginia City Highlands at 2045 Alpine Road, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number 003081-43.
I'll second your motion, Clay.
Thank you. All right, there is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Excuse me, should I read the findings?
Yes, read the findings.
Okay, I'm sorry. I messed this up at the Planning Commission too. So, this approval is to allow for a 5-foot side yard setback from the roadway easement line on the north side of the property and for a 12-foot side yard setback along the south property line. The property is located within the Virginia City Highlands at 2045 Alpine Road, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 003-081-43. The proposed project complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, this title, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county. The proposal location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The proposed project will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan, this title, and any other plans, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Virginia City Highlands, in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding is provided in Section 2.D of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Sections 17.03.150 Special Use Permit, 17.12 General Provisions, and Section 17.40E Estate Zone.
Thank you for that, Kathy. So I'm going to take ask Vice Chairman Mitchell for a motion.
I'd be happy to restate the same motion. Is that what's needed?
I believe so. Yep.
All right. In accordance with the recommendation by Planning Commission and staff, the findings as read under Section 3A of the staff report and in compliance with all conditions of approval, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a 5-foot side yard setback from the roadway easement line on the north side of the property and for a 12-foot side yard setback along the south property line. The property is located within the Virginia City Highlands at 2045 Alpine Road, Story County, Nevada, APN number 003-081-43.
Second Clay's motion.
All right, so there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Moving on to item number 14, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to subgrant the Community Development Block Grant Coronavirus Funds, round two, to the Community Chest in the amount of $40,000. The funds will be for salary and benefits for the emergency management assistant employed by the Community Chest for a period of 9 months beginning July 1st, 2021. In addition, Story County will match the grant with $13,000, allowing the position to be funded for 1 year. This match will be added to the Community Relations 21-22 budget. Laura? Nope, mute. Got on mute. There you go.
I have a new headset, which requires two buttons to be pushed, so sorry about that.
No problem.
Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator for the record. We received a grant funding opportunity from the Governor's Office of Economic Development. It is the Community Development Block Grant. It's specifically related to addressing and responding to the coronavirus pandemic. It is very limited and strict in what it can be used for. But one of the things that the county can do is subgrant it to a nonprofit. With that, we had we went through the public notification process and had a public meeting. We did have the Community Chest attend with their project of basically continuing to have what we call the emergency management assistant to continue with us and to assist us through this process. It's Honey Tapley has been working with us through a grant with the Community Chest, and that grant ends on June 30th. Obviously, the pandemic, unfortunately, we'll probably still be dealing with that, still be doing the testing, the vaccinations, and those sort of things. I also want to point out that Honey Tapley dedicates 20 hours per week to Carson City Health and Human Services. She assists them with their biostatistical information and data, and that will continue as well with this grant. So we were allowed to apply for up to $40,655. The $40,000 that the Community Chest is requesting, again, will, as noted, pay for that position and all of the benefits and costs for 9 months. And so we figured if the county can add in $13,000 to match that, then we can keep that position going for a full year.
All right. Eric, would you like to chime in on this before I go to public comment?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I think this is one of those win-win partnerships and projects, having Honey being able to work with the county and provide the support for COVID, all things COVID. And so when we had the opportunity to continue doing this, it seemed like just a good fit. So just to note, we won't, that the money that we get from the CDBG grant, none of that will go to Community Chest in terms of paying for any other costs except for Honey's salary.
Thank you for that, Eric. Is there any public comment regarding this matter? I'll give it just a second here and maybe a reminder for some latecomers. Star 6 will unmute you and you can use the raise your hand feature. Not seeing any public comment. Do either of my fellow commissioners have any questions? No? All right. With that said then, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion for item number 14?
Yeah, I Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve subgranting the Community Development Block Grant Coronavirus Funds, round two, to the Community Chest in the amount of $40,000 for the salary and benefits for the emergency management assistant for a period of 9 months, and the Community Relations Department and for Community Relations Department to add to the 2021-2022 budget the amount of $13,000 as a grant match.
I'll second that motion, Clay.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Eric.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Camona, can I add one very important thing that I forgot to add?
By all means, go for it.
So I just want to make it clear that basically I now have the approval to go ahead and complete the grant application process. So it's not guaranteed that we will receive those funds, but I did need to have board approval for the community chess project and the match, and I can now proceed with the formal grant application.
Thank you for that. So you need a separate motion, my understanding, your request?
No, what you did was perfect. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that it wasn't a guarantee that I now will go ahead and process the grant.
Great. Thank you. All right. So with that said, that brings us to item number 15, which has been moved. What I'd like to ask my fellow commissioners, before we delve into the other half of today's agenda, would you need a or like to take a 10-minute recess before we jump into the budget?
I'm good to take a little break.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman?
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right. So with that said, Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you can entertain a motion for a 10-minute recess.
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to recess the meeting for 10 minutes to reconvene at noon.
Second that motion, Clay. Thank you.
All right. Motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We will see everyone at noon.